Welcome to another You Inside Under Advisor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. The Portal Edition. The transfer portal opened up today, and we're going to talk about all that. That's Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe's on the board. We've got a lot to talk about. It is going to be fun. There's a lot to dive into. We can't dive into a ton because we have the OU Insider VIP members, but we're going to dive into as much as we can. Obviously, we're going to dive into the Super Chats, which is always the easiest way to get your question up to the top. And that's essentially how it's going to go. But OU's got a lot of movement in the portal right now. We have dropped, I think Parker and I, we dropped multiple notes every day for the last week, at least. So I know our board has been, Parker, it's been busier than it is during the season. It's so weird how roster management gets people psyched. It's kind of like free agency in the NBA and the NFL. And that's essentially what it's become. And everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. But yeah, we're going to talk about all that for you. If you haven't noticed, though, watching, I know some people are going to be listening to this later, or they're going to be watching later. You see the backgrounds are different. Parker's in Nebraska. I'm in Colorado. Still working. Vacations are not a thing here in this line of work, man. But anyways, Parker, do we have any sponsors we need to thank?
We do. We need to thank Riverwind Casino, our presenting sponsor here on OU Insider Live, right off of I-35 Highway 9. They've been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to Janet King, a proud partner of OU Athletics, and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's janiking.com.
All right. Where do we want to start? I think first and foremost, let's talk about JoJohn Finley. I think that's probably where a lot of people want to talk about is – they want to talk portal, but they want to talk tight end coach because tight end's been such a polarizing position for OU over the last few years. Obviously, Jaron Kanick stabilized that a little bit this past year. But overall, just tight end has not been something that has been a bright spot for OU over there. I mean, you've had Braden Willis. You had a good stint of Austin Stogner. And then after that, Parker, it's been, it just hasn't been great. You lead up to before Braden Willis. Who was the tight end before Braden Willis? I'm slipping here. Help me out.
Before Braden Willis, it was Jeremiah Hall.
Jeremiah Hall,
and Stogner.
And Stogner, yeah. I mean, they were good during that period of time. It's been rough for Oklahoma over the last few years at tight end. I can't stabilize it a little bit. But nonetheless, JoJohn Finley ended up losing his job or asked to move on. We'll see where he ends up landing. There's a lot of Kentucky buzz. We'll see. But there are names out there that make sense for Oklahoma. Some of them are alum. And I don't know how OU fans feel about the alumni aspect about it again, because you have Ty Darlington. You've got John Cooper, right? You even have, if you want to call Kevin Wilson, I know he's not an alum, but damn, he spent 10 years of his career at OU. So he's had a pretty extensive time at the University of Oklahoma. So there's a lot of easy hires, if you want to go that. Brian Lepak, right?
Lepak,
Lepak is another guy that is an OU alum. So there's three OU alum and then one really easy hire within that you could do. But there's also names outside, Parker, that we have talked about, where there's Brian Ellis at Alabama, right? That's the connection that makes the most sense if you're going outside of the University of Oklahoma, right? You have the Western Kentucky, the offense, the time together with him and Ben Arbuckle at Western Kentucky. So it's going to be really easy to slide in because they run the same offense. They understand what the quarterback has to do, the tight ends have to do in that offense. But what's your overall thoughts on that?
My overall thoughts, are you talking more so on the staffing end of things?
Just everything.
Look, the tight end position at Oklahoma needs to get better. They need to get more out of that group than they have to this point in the Brent Venables era. And Jaron Kanick played really good ball in 2025. That shouldn't be overlooked. That shouldn't be diminished. Jaron Kanick was a third-team All-SEC performer. He got an invite to the Shrine Bowl earlier today, and it's well-deserved. I mean, for him to show, to basically, and we've been through it with him, when he could have gone and transferred a zillion other places and played linebacker, the position that he'd been playing for the first 3 years of his college career, and that's how he could have spent his senior season, to instead demonstrate such love for the university and trust in Brent Venables and the staff, and adoration for his brothers in that locker room to consent to a position change, and in the span of several months, not just change positions, but become the starter, become a high-impact guy at that position. I mean, Oklahoma needed Jaron Kanick in 2025, but that was a one-year deal. He's off to the NFL, and the Sooners have to reload. And it's really interesting how they've essentially wiped that slate clean. I mean, as of right now, the only returners that they're going to have in that room come 2026 are Cade McIntyre and Trenae Washington. So it's going to be almost a completely new cast of characters any way you slice it, and you're going to have a new coach in that room as well. I'll be honest, I think the majority of the candidates that we've discussed at OUinsider.com regarding that tight end coach position, I think they make sense. I'd be fine with any and all of them. I don't necessarily have a strong preference there. I think, and you know, the Jason Witten thing is not happening, but it was a fun hypothetical for a couple of days. Twitter had a good time with it.
We did.
Obviously, a guy like that, if Oklahoma was able to make a hire like that, his name alone brings some additional publicity and sway to everything that Oklahoma is doing on that side of the football. It's going to enable you to have a seat at the table with some of the elite tight end recruits in the country. But you don't really know, right? You don't really know how a guy like Jason Witten is going to transition to the collegiate game when he's never coached at that level before. He's had success as a high school coach down in Texas, but coaching high school and coaching in college are two very different animals. And so I don't hate I think I'm preferable to the idea of Oklahoma going with an experienced guy who's coached that position before and gotten good production out of guys at that position before. Kevin Wilson fits that bill. Brian Lepak fits that bill. A guy like Brian Ellis at Alabama certainly fits that bill, and all three have familiarity with the program and or with the current staff. So I'll be interested to see how it shakes out, but I think that's going to be one position that's under a lot of scrutiny throughout this portal cycle for Oklahoma as to how they reshape and rebuild that room under the direction of Jim Nagy in the front office. You know, where do their priorities lie as far as reloading with portal talent that position? We've talked about Hayden Hansen pretty extensively. We talked about Tucker Ashcraft pretty extensively. I think there's probably going to be a third. I think it's the three portal tight ends in all likelihood for Oklahoma. So we'll see what they do with that third slot. There's a number of different directions they could go. We'll see, man. There's a lot that hangs in the balance the next couple of weeks.
Definitely. Let's before we keep diving into that, because I feel like we're going to cross with some of the questions that some of these people are going to have from us in the Super Chat. So, Jonamay Merrick, appreciate you. Thank you so much for the Super Chat. I love Jonamay. She is awesome. She always is a participant on here. So we always appreciate you and everything that you do. I'm getting concerned about losing key depth pieces. Are we just not willing to pay to keep them? How do I want to answer? Yes, OU's been willing to pay. They wanted a lot of the names that you're seeing and getting the portal have been processed out. It hasn't been Oklahoma just missing the mark with them as far as money goes. Now, there is some instances like Devon Jordan wanted like starter money because he's been developed. He knows he's going to start and get some really good money elsewhere. And you're seeing that as Cincinnati starting to come after him. Gentry Williams, same thing. Ginger Williams has made play after play after play when healthy for Oklahoma. He's been a playmaker at cornerback for OU. I don't think anybody can argue that. You'd look at the Auburn game just this past year. He made two very vital plays that saved OU post route that you could say was pass interference, but he was there and he made the play. Earlier, a batted ball that he knocked down that could have been a very big play for Auburn against Cam Coleman, by the way. So, like, he has been a big playmaker every time he's been healthy. He wanted starter money. He didn't want to lose money that had been given to him in prior years. But Oklahoma looked at it as, look, we'll give you that money, but it's got to be more in the line of incentives. And a lot of times the agents, a lot of times they just don't want that to be up in the air, right, for their clients. So that's how that stuff works. Jacob Sexton's another one. I will tell you flat out, they offered Jacob Sexton a substantial contract. They wanted to keep Jacob Sexton, much like Gentry Williams, been injured. So they were going to want him at guard instead of tackle. Well, he wants to play tackle because he knows tackle will make more money in the NFL if he can stay healthy. He was an NFL guy in 23 and 24 before he got injured. And then after he got injured, he's been injured and he's stayed injured. His family understands that aspect of it. They've talked about that. When we talk to them just off the air or whatever, just by knowing them, they will tell you, we understand he's been injured, but he wants to play tackle. He doesn't want to play guard. So that's why that move. Logan Hallen was one that they wanted to keep. I will flat tell you that. They were not happy that that happened. But Logan Hallen doesn't want to sit behind Fasusi and Foje, particularly as a retro sophomore or junior.
And here's the thing, Brandon. To see Michael Fasusi and Ryan Foje play as well as they did in 2025 as true freshmen, that was exciting, no doubt, for a lot of Sooner fans that want long-term answers at those positions, given how much of a revolving door some of those spots on the offensive line have been in recent years. But everything has a cost, man. Everything has a cost. And for Oklahoma, the cost of having two outstanding true freshmen emerge as your starting tackles is everyone else in the room, because everyone else in the room has left. As of right now, and this is going to be remedied in the portal, make no mistake, but as of right now, Oklahoma has three tackles on the roster for next year. It's Fasusi, Foje, and Deacon Schmidt, the incoming true freshman. Everybody else has hit the road. Sexton, Logan Howland, Luke Paklenko, Isaiah Autry, Dent. Like, it's cleared out. And so it's awesome to have two guys that you feel like are your bookends for the next 2 years minimum. But, man, there's a lot riding on Fasusi and Foje's health, regardless of who Oklahoma brings in the portal, because I think it's pretty apparent, and, you know, talking to one source in particular today that's been having a lot of conversations around the market regarding offensive tackle in particular, mentioned today, the market's out of control at that
point. It is out of control. So
whoever Oklahoma gets in the portal for tackle depth, those options are probably going to be measurably inferior to Michael Fasusi and Ryan Foje. So for those two guys to stay healthy in 2026, like, that is going to be pivotal for Oklahoma. Yep. That is going to have to happen.
It's a give and take, man. The portal, until there's rules and regulations on this, you're not going to want to see it. Guys aren't going to want to develop. You're starting to see it on defense now too, which was a side of the ball that you thought, yeah, people are going to stick around. They're going to do whatever they can to get developed by BV and that defensive staff. And it's probably more so than, I guess, the offense. They've stuck around by far. But some of the players that they lost, Kobe McKenzie, they wanted to keep, right? But he wants starter money and he wants to start, which is totally understandable. There's a decent chance Owen Heineke and Kip Lewis come back, which means he's probably not going to start. And he understands that. He saw what happened with Owen Heineke as the season went on. Owen Heineke took all of his reps. So that, it makes sense until rules and regulations are put forth to where they can only transfer once or there's penalties. It's just going to be a revolving door. And fans are going to have to get used to it. It's getting closer, Parker. We've talked about this. It's getting closer to rules and regulations, to the salary cap, to a union, a players union, all those type of things are going to start happening. I talked to an agent just yesterday, Parker, that said, brother, it's closer than everybody thinks. The commissioners just have to align with it. The NCAA has nothing to do with anything anymore. They're completely out of the loop.
And here's the thing. Here's the other thing about it too is everybody on every single P4 roster is getting recruited by somebody else these days.
Yep.
If you're a high-end P4 player that's producing at a high level, excelling at a high level, you have the blue bloods back channeling for your services. If you're a mid-tier P4 player who's maybe starting or maybe just playing in a rotational role and, you know, adding some value but not setting the world on fire, you have other P4 schools back channeling for your services, promising you more of an opportunity than you're getting at your current school. Mm-hmm. And if you're a P4 player that just flat out sucks, at least at that level, you still got G5 schools on the horn trying to convince you, hey, you can come here and start. So for Oklahoma, I mean, it's the blessing and the curse, right? It's the double-edged sword of being at a place like Oklahoma is there are problems unique to the Oklahoma brand or to the blue blood experience, I should say, in that you have to fight to retain every single player on your roster every year. And there will be some guys that you don't want to see hit the road that will hit the road for what they feel is a better opportunity elsewhere or more money elsewhere. And so there's going to be a lot of turnover year over year. I would say in general, until or unless we get guardrails on this thing and player movement is regulated somehow, which has to be government intervention at this point, that kind of seems like the only way. You're going to see at least 24 Sooners in the transfer after every single season. And that's probably on the conservative side. Working through more of our super chats, Cole Birdwell tosses $2 and asked over under 1.5 ACC transfer wide receivers on the team next year. I'm going to go under. I don't think the TJ Moore, Bryant Wesco package deal that so many of y'all seem to be fantasizing about is going to happen, but Oklahoma is going to bring in at least a couple portal receivers, no question about it. Now, look, we talked about it earlier in the week, and honestly, I think we've gotten here even faster than I imagined we would get here. The Cam Coleman number is just, like, at this point, it's out of the range that Oklahoma is going to be willing to pay. And so you're already at the point where you're examining options that are not Cam Coleman.
They're really good options, by the way.
Yeah, and they are. Fantastic. And we'll talk about some of them. But, like, the comment I made on Monday, right, is Chrysler 300 looks like a Phantom until a Phantom pulls up. And the Phantoms have pulled up for Cam Coleman.
Yep.
Very quickly. The programs that can and will spend indiscriminately. When Texas Tech gets involved, I can hazard a safe guess, Brandon, that Oklahoma and many other schools of Oklahoma's ilk aren't even going to bother fighting NIL wars with schools like Texas Tech in the years ahead. Because you know the price point's just going to be ridiculous, obscene. Mm-hmm.
You're 100% correct. The good news for OU fans is that Cody Campbell has a kid in the 2029 class, and he plays offensive line. And Cody Campbell and Bill Beatembo, I know, crazy, right? OU fans, Bill Beatembo and Cody Campbell are like this. And you talk to people, he wants his kid learning from Bill Beatembo on the offensive line. If it works out, it works out. One way or the other, it's going to be Texas Tech or Oklahoma. I'm telling you right here, right now, those are the two teams for his kid. And if they can somehow pull that off, what a glorious time that will be for OU, because NIL money will be flowing north of the Red River from the Campbells. It will never stop for Texas Tech, but that dude has enough money that he'll be able to help out both. Yeah, that would be big. So you better hope that he wants him to play for Bill Beatembo enough that he ends up in Norman.
And then subsequently, you better hope that he's willing to invest seven figures into OU's NIL efforts.
You would think to support his kid, he would do that, right?
Maybe. The Green Arrow asks, does OU have the money for the portal? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they have the money for the portal. Yes, they're not showing up to a gunfight with a knife.
Do people understand how much it costs to retain the roster that they have right now? Like, OU has one of the most talented returning rosters in all of college football. Like, that is that I think that is so because everybody's so hyper focused on the portal and the incoming recruiting classes, right? That you, we do it, we're guilty as well. So, I'm not pointing at the fans because I'm just as guilty. I was just as guilty calling a source today going, "Are you guys just not going to spend money?" Like, just flat out ask. And they're like, "Bro, relax, relax." And straight up, like, I'm just going to tell you right now, like, they had to spend to keep what they're going to have to keep. If you think Kip Lewis returning and right now things are moving decent in that direction, I'm never going to say it's a done deal or anything until it happens. It's not going to be cheap. It's going to be expensive. If Owen Heineke gets out of his waiver or appeal or whatever it is, and he can return. He now has an agent. The dude was playing for free over the last few years. It's not, he's probably not going to be as expensive as most people because he loves OU so much, but it's still going to cost, and they're still going to pay him because they're going to thank him for returning. Like, they're going to provide for a kid that wants to be that way. They're going to reward him for his loyalty. And so you get that. I know I'm going to say Jon Matier, Isaiah Satania returning. Like, those are expensive returnees. Xavier Robinson, expensive. Foje, Fasusi, EPL, Mikala, David Stone, Jaden Jackson, Wine. Like, fans need to understand how expensive. Like, I just named every one of those I just named have chances to be all SEC at their position. That's how talented OU is next year. They
Tyler
are
Claiborne,
going. Go ahead.
kind of related there. $10 super chat. Two-part question here. Any update on Owen Heineke, and does the NCAA have a deadline to make a decision on his eligibility? Tyler, I think I mentioned this last week on the live stream, but if your question starts with "Does the NCAA," odds are no one knows the answer. No one can figure out the NCAA. The NCAA is a beast of its own. So I have no idea which direction that appeal is going to go. I have no idea whether things are going to go in Owen Heineke's favor with regard to his opportunity to return to Oklahoma in 2026. I do know, just kind of talking to people around that situation this week, there's more optimism than there once was. But again, it's really hard to know for certain when you're dealing with the NCAA until the actual verdict is handed down. So, wish I had a better answer for you. I really don't. That's probably going to be the type of thing where we all kind of find out together. Wacko Sooners tosses $5 and said, "Graduating soon, covering OU football independently on social media. Would love to join OU Insider. Any tips on who to contact or how to get involved? Shoot me a DM, shoot Brandon a DM, shoot either of us a DM. Our DMs are open on Twitter. We'll be happy to chat with you." No question about it. What else we got? The Green Arrow with $5 more. "Will BV change how he's handled practices? The O-line seems injured all the time."
They changed a lot last year, like a lot. Like, they were so, they were. It's a balance because, look, you talked about, okay, example, Mario Cristobal was yelling across to Jimmy Johnson about how physical they were leading up to the game against Ohio State. Leading up to the game, like, they went physical the whole time. So it's a give and take. A lot of times it's just bad luck. And Oklahoma has the worst luck with offensive linemen. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe there's some validity to how they train in the offseason. I don't know. Like, because I'm not, that's not my expertise or forte or anything like that. I don't understand it. But they got a lot less physical than they were last year. They only did, I believe it was what, two physical practices, and one was only shells, like shoulder pads and helmets, and one was full pads. The rest of the time, they had like essentially 3-day walkthroughs last year. That's how they practice. Bad luck's bad luck. I don't know how to describe it.
Tyler Alston, $5. "Does K-State hiring Mike Schmidt as O-line coach make Brian Lepack more of a target for tight end coach for OU. I mean, look, it is probably next to Kevin Wilson the most sensible hire that Oklahoma could make for that spot. Yeah. I mean, he played at OU. He was a grad assistant at OU. The staff overhaul at Kansas State kind of puts a guy like that in some limbo. And so that would make a ton of sense for them to hire Brian Lepak. Is that what they're going to do?
Did he coach with Wilson at Indiana?
I don't believe so.
Who was the one that coached 2014 to 2016 in Indiana?
I couldn't tell you. It wasn't him, though. But yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
He was here 17 to 19 as a grad assistant on those first few Lincoln Riley staffs. So he coached the offensive line at Kansas State this past year. He spent the previous 3 years as tight ends coach. And he's widely considered one of the up-and-comers in the profession. And he's got to be, what, mid-30s? Mid-30s. Got to be 35, 36, something like that. But, yeah, I'd like that hire for Oklahoma. I'd like it if they kept it in-house with Kevin Wilson. I'd like it if they swung a little bigger and brought in somebody like Brian Ellis. Again, I feel like at this point you can't really go wrong. And there's not a hire in my mind, Brandon, that OU fans are going to be disappointed with, regardless of which way it goes, just because, it's unfortunate to say, because, man, he was great to us, always enjoyed being around him. He's a good human being. But Joe John Finley, the fan base had just had it with him by the end of it. And so whoever the next tight ends coach is, it's going to feel to almost 100% of folks like a significant upgrade over the status quo.
Yeah.
So I don't know that Oklahoma is going to be able to make a hire at the tight ends coach position that's going to be widely panned or met with subpar reviews.
Yeah. I think every tight end coach that they're looking at right now, because I don't want to say upgrade, just because I think it's just kind of a jackass thing to say, even if it's true. But they're really good coaches. Young, energetic, most of them, with pretty good resumes backing them for what they do. It would be, if it could be Lepak and he could bring in Lincoln Kerr, oh my goodness.
Oh, which, I mean, that's probably a pipe dream, because Lincoln Kerr was committed to Kansas State no matter who his position coach was, and Lepak never actually coached Lincoln Kerr because he took over the offensive line this past year. But
yeah,
I mean, there are other guys from that Kansas State tight end room. Kerr is not the only one that, you know, if Lepak could bring a guy with him from Kansas State, there are guys on that roster that would be welcome additions to Oklahoma's tight end room.
It's a pipe dream probably at this point, but my pipe dream is to have Luke Haas return at some point in his career to Oklahoma. I want that so badly. I just do. He's not playing a ton at all.
He caught a touchdown last night.
He did. But up to that point, look at his stats up to that point. He's been hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
But man, I'm such a Luke Haas guy, and I will always be a Luke Haas guy. And I've always wanted that to work out. That story can be told one day, but just not right now.
YouTube chat is saying Andrew Sprague just hit the portal.
He did. I saw
that. And again, man, like if Oklahoma didn't have Fasusi and Foje on the roster as your obvious bookends for the next two seasons, that would be one that would be absolutely worth watching. But as it stands, a guy like that who was honorable mention all Big Ten this past year, I think he was playing right tackle for Michigan, if I recall correctly. He's not going to want to show up and be a backup. He's not going to want to show up and be the swing tackle that is the new Logan Howland, in essence, that gets to play only if and when Fasusi and Foje are unavailable. So, man, I wonder where he lands. He's going to have his fair share of suitors, as he did coming out of high school. He's a real good player. And an absolute Hulk, 6'8", 315 pounds.
I'd rather see another Michigan guy hit the portal, but that's just me.
You've teased that a time or two, but
yeah,
here's what we know so far. Here's what we know so far. Obviously Hayden Hansen and Tucker Ashcraft and Lloyd Avant, the Colorado State running back, all those guys are visiting. Couple other guys that are visiting as well. For one, Gideon Lampron from Bowling Green, one of the most prolific tacklers this past season in the entire FBS.
Talking to his agent tomorrow morning, by the way.
Yes, so he had 119 tackles. 119 tackles at Bowling Green. It was his very first year at the FBS level, if you can believe that. He spent 3 years at Dayton, 22 to 24. Leveled up to Bowling Green in 2025. And, yeah, all he did was become one of the top tacklers in the entirety of Division I FBS football. So he's 6 feet, 220 pounds, covers a lot of ground. He's a hitter. And he's got 1 year of eligibility left. So that's a guy that Oklahoma's going to have to fight off a few other P4 suitors for. But if you're looking to – if you're in his shoes and you're looking to go somewhere that can serve as a launch pad to the NFL with your one remaining year, Oklahoma makes a lot of sense for Lampron. He's visiting next Friday. Next Friday and Saturday, he will be in town. Mm-hmm. Dakota Fields, shout out to our man, the Gorn Dog, Adam Gorney, for scooping this one just a few minutes ago. Dakota Fields, former Oregon cornerback, is going to be visiting OU the 4th through the 6th. So Sunday through Tuesday, he's going to be in town. So might be a little Stacy Ford special there. He's from California, Compton, I want to say.
Yep.
Spent a couple years at Oregon. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. He has not done much at Oregon, in all transparency, but with where Oklahoma's at right now in the cornerback room, you're probably not in a position to attract starters, nor are you in a position to offer starting reps to those guys, because you have Cortland Guillory and you have Eli Bowen. And the guy everybody forgets about because he's been hurt is Jeremiah Newcomb. But make no mistake, Jeremiah Newcomb is going to play a lot next year for Oklahoma. You're going to have Jacoby Johnson back in the mix. So your upper crust in the cornerback room is pretty well solidified. Right now, you're looking for your Davon Jordan, Malik Hawkins replacements, if you will. Guys that can come in and be quality depth and develop and wait their turn once guys like Guillory and Bowen have moved along. So Dakota Fields fits the bill in that regard. That would make plenty of sense for Oklahoma. We'll see if it makes sense on Dakota Fields' end. And I will say this, man, and we'll talk about this more on OUinsider.com this weekend, but I know it's pretty well known at this point that Parker Livingston is visiting Indiana this weekend. That's out there. That's been publicly reported. Totally get it. And I understand that when you have the first visit, naturally you're the school, it's probably going to have the most buzz and the most confidence in the public eye that you can get it done with a given player. I truly do believe that if Parker Livingston leaves Bloomington, Indiana, without committing and signing to the Hoosiers, I think that kid winds up a Sooner. Which would be fun. Because you want to talk about a full circle type of moment for that dude.
Yeah.
He so badly wanted an Oklahoma offer out of high school. And not only that, but just the chance to add a guy who was that productive as a redshirt freshman, despite dealing with injury.
Arch Manning's roommate.
Yeah, Arch Manning's roommate. Like, and it really isn't difficult to read the tea leaves and figure what happened there. Like, Texas made a big play for Cam Coleman. He felt slighted. He felt jilted. He was like, I'm getting out of Dodge. He had 29 catches for 516 yards and 6 touchdowns as a redshirt freshman this year. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. Like, I firmly believe that kid is a future NFL receiver. And so if Oklahoma could bring him in, and Lord knows, he's going to cost a lot less than Cam Coleman, Brandon. I think that's a big win for Oklahoma, because there is no Cam Coleman. There's only one of those guys in the available portal pool. But amongst the guys not named Cam Coleman, I am as bullish on Parker Livingston as anybody. and he's got family ties to the state of Oklahoma. No doubt he's going to be motivated to be somewhere where he gets the chance to strut his stuff in front of that Longhorn staff in a very meaningful football game every single year. I think there's a lot that makes sense about the fit. And as we've discussed on the board, there's a lot of interest there on OU's side. So we'll see how the Indiana visit goes. But I think as long as he doesn't catch the bug and shut it down while he's in Bloomington, Oklahoma's going to have a lot to say about that process.
No matter who you go after, I had somebody tell me this. I've had multiple agents actually tell me this. No matter who you go after in the portal, whether wide receiver, offensive tackle, linebacker, defensive line, defensive tackle, defensive end, those type of positions, you're not going to get anybody, even in a depth role, without paying $400+ for these dudes right now in the portal. It's just such a overpriced, inflated market right now in the portal. Starters like a Parker Livingstone would be, you're not going to get them for anything less than $700K. It's just, that's just the reality of it. And most guys are going for seven figures plus. Like, I'll tell you this, I know of a player, I'm not going to name a position or whatever, that if OU got, OU fans would just be jumping through the hoops, through the roof for them. And OU is after the said player. They're pushing $1.1 to $1.3 million for him. Like, insanity money. Insanity money right now.
Get it.
But it's just the way it is.
Yep.
It's the way it is. It's just, it's crazy right now. So, anyways.
Jacob Matthews gave us a super chat. And he asked, is there a return specialist in the portal that we're looking at? It would be cool to finally see kick returns. Well, honestly, Jacob, I think that's more philosophical than anything else. If Oklahoma were inclined to actually return kicks, they would put Isaiah Satania back there because we've seen how electric he can be in the return game. I think, regardless of what the roster looks like next year, Isaiah Satania is probably your most dynamic, most dangerous return man. And the Sooners just want to fair catch kickoffs and start at the 25. That's fine. I don't mind it. If you want me to list off the things I take issue with right now with Oklahoma football, I'm not trying to insinuate that there are a lot of those things, but not returning kicks is pretty far down the list. There are things that are a more preeminent concern. But we mentioned Lloyd Avant, the Colorado State running back. And Brandon, I know that there are many Oklahoma fans on social media right now, and there have been many OU fans on social media throughout the day that aren't super enthused by the concept of adding Lloyd Avant. But Oklahoma's really not in a position where it's funny, I'm gonna make this comparison. They're not in a position where they go swing big for another Jaden Ott, because they don't need to. And obviously the Ott thing didn't really pan out last year anyway, so there's a bad taste in everyone's mouth from going after big-time running backs regardless. But Lloyd Avant is the type of guy that in the OU system, he can be a third down back. He can play a very specialized role within the offense in complement to Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock, who are going to be the head honchos in that backfield. We'll see how ready Jonathan Hatton is next year. But you're riding with Robinson and Blaylock. I mean, those are your main two as we're projecting 2026 right now. Avant kind of slides in as a depth guy, a guy that can add a certain dimension out of the backfield, but also somebody that can meaningfully contribute in the return game. So it would not shock me at all if Lloyd Avant is one of those guys that's back there returning kicks for Oklahoma in 2026, if they're actually going to return kicks as a program.
Yeah, you have Xavier Robinson, you got, you know, Hatton, Torrey Blaylock. Like, you don't need like a big time guy. Like, and I think people look at that and they're like, well, they didn't produce a ton last year. Okay. One was a true freshman and played pretty damn well until he tore his shoulder up. And still then he played tough and he played because they had to have him. The other one was injured to start the year, Xavier Robinson. got healthy, had 300 100-yard games plus in a row, and then proceeded to hurt both of his knees in one game, and then played on it the rest of this, played on both of them the rest of the season, and now has to have surgery on one of them. But he played, and he kept playing, and he kept playing. The unfortunate part about Oklahoma's running back room last year, and I'm going to say this, they had a bunch of soft asses in there. They're gone now. Am I wrong, Parker? I don't think I'm wrong.
You are not wrong.
Soft asses.
You're not wrong.
The two tough asses played. Then you had your third string was Gabe Sawchuk, who was a walk-on at the end of the season, the last 4 or 5 games, because he was tough and he played and he was willing to do the things that they asked him to do. So they were willing to bring him in and travel him over the scholarship guys that didn't want to put out the effort. That's how bad it got. They're bringing in new blood. You got the two tough guys back. You could get Avant, who obviously has played for Kevin Wilson at Tulsa, right? And was really good for him as a true freshman at Tulsa. And then you got Jonathan Hatton and DeZephon Walker. You have Gabe Sawchuk still coming back, who had scholarship offers to P5 program, P4 programs out of high school, chose to walk on at Oklahoma to join his brother. He's stuck around at Oklahoma. So you got 7 guys, essentially, give or take, in that running back room. It'll be a lot better next year. And I will say this, the running back room is only going to be as good as the offensive line. And luckily for Oklahoma, they return 4 starters. And their 4 most talented guys are coming back, period. No questions about it. So if you can find some depth pieces and another starting guard, the port of which I really think Oklahoma is going to be willing to pay for, by the way, at guard, because they need to. They're going to have Ozaida, at least right now. That's the way it looks. I don't know. We'll see. But they need more guard. I'm actually shocked, Parker, that London Dan hasn't gotten the portal. I actually had heard so much buzz about him in the portal, and he stuck around, it seems like, at this point. We'll see. But he's got a huge upside, so that's really good for OU if they convince him to stick around. We'll find out. I mean, you got 2 weeks with the portal open, so we'll find out, though. Do we have any other?
We do, yeah. Our boy Martin Chase, Jesus Saves 7606, said, Brandon and Parker, 2 questions. You see any more coaching changes, and is there any talk about changing our running game after watching Indiana and others?
I mean, I haven't heard anything about any. Everybody wants to talk about DeMarco Murray, and everybody says, I hear buzz about this, buzz about that. I don't know that I buy it, at least not right now. The Indiana running game was fun to watch, right?
Indiana's just such a good.
Their offensive line's good.
Like, they are such a good football team. And I think what makes them so fun, what makes me appreciate Indiana so much as a team, is they don't really have a calling card. Like, they don't have the one thing that you know Indiana football for. Like, you think about the Baker era at Oklahoma, and yeah, it was offense, offense, offense. That's an offense that's going to be able to drop 500 yards and 50 points on you any given week. And then, you know, you had the Kirby Smart Georgia teams that were oriented around a strong running game and a vicious defense, especially in the front 7. Like, Indiana's just good everywhere. Like, they're
old everywhere, too. That's the crazy part. Like, old.
Yes. And maybe this is the last great COVID team, and that's all it is. Like, it's just a byproduct of having a bunch of 5th- and 6th-year seniors in the mix. But to see the way that Kurt Cignetti has built that roster and coached those guys to play within the scheme and play within the system the way that they do, and just to see what a high level they execute on and how everybody does their 1/11th on any given snap. Like, my favorite part of watching the Indiana-Alabama Rose Bowl yesterday was I think it was in the second quarter, there was an instance where Alabama lined up for a hard count on 4th and 1, 2 consecutive snaps. First time the quarter ran out, second time they called a timeout. But Kalen DeBoer's dialing up all sorts of motion and window dressing and doing anything and everything to try and get Indiana to jump off. Like, those guys never flinched, man.
Yeah, no.
Never flinched. And, you know, Kurt Cignetti's just standing there on the sideline, intense as all get out, just completely, completely with, I guess, just like, he knows as well as anybody that he can trust his guys to do what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
And they take after him. It's fun to watch, man. Like, I hope that team wins the national championship. I don't have a rooting interest with the four teams that are left, but it would be fun to see Indiana win a national championship just because I think Cignetti deserves it, and he's built things the right way there at Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana would be a fun national champion, and I think they have every opportunity to do so. The crazy part is they don't go out and spend like an inordinate amount of money on players. They go and grab guys that are fits. If you go through and you look at all the names that they went and got out of the portal, Sands, Mendoza, right? That was a big name. Everybody understood how good he was at Cal. But Sands, Mendoza, they didn't just go grab a bunch of big names. They grabbed a bunch of just mid-contributors, developed them in the offseason, got them to buy into everything, culture, scheme, everything. And they evaluate so well with fit within their scheme that they just plug these dudes in, and it's like a well-oiled machine. Just boom, 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 boom. I do want to say something. I saw something in the chat. I said, well, Indiana would have beat Oklahoma worse than they beat Alabama. Totally disagree with that. Oklahoma's defense was far better than Alabama's. Far better than Alabama's. Indiana would have beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, they would have.
They would have beat Oklahoma. They wouldn't have beat them 38-3, though.
I don't think so. I think Oklahoma would have given Indiana a better game than Alabama gave them. I think Oklahoma matched up a little better with Indiana than Alabama. Like, there's no, I don't know that there's anybody stopping that Hoosier team right now. That just kind of feels like a runaway freight train.
Yeah.
Like, they've already beaten Oregon on the road in Autzen Stadium. So I feel as though the Hoosiers are probably going to be pretty heavy favorites against the Ducks and then whoever they wind up matched up with on the opposite side of that bracket between Ole Miss and Miami. But yeah, I'm going to have to see that team lose to believe it, because they look the closest to unstoppable right now that I've seen a college football team look since Joe Burrow and LSU in 2019. Super chats. BMD Killer 9166 says, what's our chance for Moore / Wesco if they portal? I think OU would have a better chance with Moore. I don't know that there would be. I'm not suggesting they'd have a 0% chance with Bryant Wesco, but I don't know if there are as many reasons for him to love Oklahoma as there once were when his sister was playing soccer here.
Well, I mean, Best might be able to convince him.
I guess they would have overlapped for what
they overlapped. Yeah, a couple of years actually. They played together, probably two, maybe.
Yeah, I guess 2 years. Riley Davis tosses $5 and asks, BD, can you expound on a certain Michigan wide receiver and what his timeline looks like if he enters? Well,
I don't know what you're talking about, if he enters or whether or not. I honestly,
he's got to enter first.
Yeah, I'm staying up. I know the kid. I know the people around him. I know that's why I know that there's been discussion, but I don't think it's nothing more than that. Everybody discusses. I think people need to understand that every player discusses whether they need to go to the portal or not when their season's over. Every player. There is not a single player that you will talk to that hasn't at least broached that conversation with their people across college football. Doesn't matter how loyal they are, they're at least going to go, should I? Okay, no, okay, cool. There is going to be minor discussions about everything. I think people need to understand that and just know that you can't get too excited until something happens. And you just leave it alone at that. If something was to happen, I'm almost positive Oklahoma, just because of their situation and the fact that he loved Oklahoma, he wanted to be a Sooner. Even the Parker Livingstone. Those two are two peas in the pod. How many times did we see Andrew Marsh at Oklahoma? I mean, it's just, it was a lot, right? It was a lot. he wanted to be a Sooner, but doesn't matter. He's at Michigan. He's a freshman All-American. The dude has balled out. He has one of the better young quarterbacks in the country coming back. And he's got an amazing head coach now, right? So there's so many things at play that you just can't get overly excited. I would love to see him at OU. That would be amazing. I think everybody would. Duke can ball, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I would lean towards not at this point. How about that? And just leave it alone at that. Is there anything else?
Yes. KS Berry 7. Why hasn't BV's personality made it to the offense?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, defensive personality is completely different than offensive personality. You don't need to be playing with your hair on fire on offense. I mean, you do, but not like the OU defense does. I think it's more to do with they've had 4 years to get to know BV's system.
And I also think it has to do with the coordinators too. Like, and I think where that question is coming from is it's almost an indirect comparison to Indiana, because we just spent a few minutes talking about Indiana, and the entire Indiana football team kind of carries Kurt Cignetti's demeanor, right? Fernando Mendoza is a fun character, but I'm more talking like on the field. You know, they play with Kurt Cignetti's demeanor. But I think the reason for that is also largely because Kurt Cignetti's had the same two coordinators for, what, a decade? Like, Mike Shanahan and Brian Haynes have been with him for years and years. And so they've had the chance to just kind of get steeped in the Cignetti experience and allow their DNA to be fingerprinted by his, I suppose. And obviously, Oklahoma really doesn't have that. Ben Arbuckle just finished his first year here, and BV is his own defensive coordinator. And I think, again, to go back to the theme of continuity there, I think the defense carries Brent Venables' attitude, because not only is he calling the shots, but he also has had near total continuity on his defensive staff.
Thank you.
Since he took over. Yeah. The only position coach, or the only position group that's had a change in the coaching since he arrived is linebackers coach, which of course Venables himself is a linebackers coach, and so he's kind of been the steady hand on the tiller with that group throughout anyway.
Yeah,
I think the reason that hasn't made it over to the offense is because there's been so much constant change there, both in terms of the individuals that are wearing the pads and seeing the field and playing the snaps, and in the coaches that are coordinating the respective position groups.
Totally. That's what I was meaning by they've had 4 years to get to know Brent's mentality, his system, all that. I honestly think, like, call me a homer, I don't care. I believe you're going to see, everybody talks about the year one to year two jump with freshmen and sophomores, right? Or freshmen and redshirt freshmen all the time. I think a lot of that also has to do with coaches, their systems, everything, particularly on the offensive side. Plus, you're going to have the growth of EPL, Fasusi, Foje, right? You're going to see those guys make a massive jump in strength, in maturity. They're going to go from being babies out there on the field to now being experienced vets year two. That is massive. It's going to give Mateer a lot more confidence back there. And I talked to some people around the offense and just as a whole, and they will sit there and tell you and say, look, when you've been conditioned to get rid of the ball quickly because of how things went to start the year, because of the youth at offensive line, right? Like, that's not a secret. It's not even a knock. You're playing freshmen. There's going to be ups and downs. So you're going to have dudes at your feet. You're going to have things that are going to make you throw errant passes or get rid of things and force things quicker than you. Outside of that pick six, how much better did Mateer look and more comfortable back there against Alabama? The more practices that offensive line got, the better they got. I think Beat and Bo did a masterful job with those young guys this past year. And I know I'm going to get mocked for saying that, but I really believe that. I think you're going to see, for the first time in a long time, because of the continuity that they're going to have at offensive line, they're going to see a lot of growth. And you're going to see a lot of development, things that Beat and Bo used to be known for, because he would have those guys for 3, 4, 5 years and be able to develop them through the system. You're finally going to get to see it next year, at least the beginning traits of it. And OU fans are going to like it. I think the run game will be majorly better next year because of it.
Somebody brought up in the YouTube chat that Andrew Sprague entered the portal with a do not contact tag. You know what that means? Because I think I know what that means.
Notre Dame.
Mizzou Tiger.
Oh, that's right. He's from Missouri, isn't he? That's right. That's right. But Notre Dame was like heavy in on him, wasn't, weren't they, as well, if I remember correctly?
I don't think so.
Who was
They
the
were
other team?
offered, but as I recall, they weren't one of the schools that were like high up on his list.
No, I'm thinking of the guy Tom Lloyd did like the 100-yard walk and talk. And I can't remember who it was. From Michigan, I think. And he ended up transferring. I don't know where he transferred to. I thought it was Sprague, but it wasn't Sprague. That's correct. Yeah, probably Missouri. I mean, they got Caden Green to return. That was big. Really big. So I think they're gonna be a little bit better. Yeah, see, I told you I was gonna get mocked for what I said. I'm just pumping sunshine because I said something positive about the offense and growth. In development. Can't have that. Can't have that, Parker. What is your biggest takeaway for the portal over the first few days? Just as far as like frustrate, are you frustrated with the lack of Oklahoma being mentioned with some of the bigger names?
Gosh, I'm about to say something that I feel like is very, very obvious, but that gets lost on a lot of people, or has so far. It's day one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's day one. We got 13 more days of this. There are going to be a lot more guys that enter the transfer portal that aren't in right now, and there are going to be a lot of twists and turns along the way. Anybody that's lived through portal combat before knows that stuff is very fluid. Stuff changes on a dime. There will inevitably be guys that we expect to be Sooners right now that wind up at another school. And there will be guys right now that are nowhere on our radar or anyone's radar that wind up in OU's transfer class. And so no one should be fretting about anything after one day. We'll check back in next week at the halfway point, and then maybe we can have a more serious conversation about what's happened and where things are trending. But for now, just based on what has transpired in day one, I really like some of the early options that Oklahoma has at their disposal. You'd certainly hope that they can close pretty quickly on several of these targets, especially the guys that are visiting in the next few days. And then you go from there with the understanding that 13 days is a dang long time for this all to come together.
So I'm just, the comments are going really fast down here, but everybody is talking about how frustrated they are. I asked you the question, now the comments are coming. Well, I'm frustrated, tired of hearing about Texas in on the Auburn linebacker and the wide receiver Cam Coleman and the names for all these different guys. And I'm just like, I'm like, please, like linebacker, would you rather have whoever they're in on, Texas in on, or would you rather have Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke back? They don't have, like, Texas lost basically all their defense. They have to go buy players. They lost a lot of players on defense. Their offense is going to return a crap load. So I get the Cam Coleman and the frustrating because the wide receivers are so loaded with Texas, but you would imagine that there's probably going to be some more people leave if Cam Coleman decides to go to Texas.
And look, I obviously these are not the actual numbers here, but for the sake of the argument, let's just say the number that Cam Coleman gets at Texas is $3.5 million. No, let's say three. Let's say three. Let's say he gets $3 million to go to Texas. Would you rather, no qualifications, no provisos, no nothing, would you rather Oklahoma spend $3 million for Cam Coleman or spend $800K on Parker Livingston and have another $2 plus million that they can allocate elsewhere? No reservations, no qualifications. What's your answer? Because I'll tell you what mine is. I would rather they go get Livingston. I know not everyone agrees, and that's fine. You don't have
that
to.
That was what I said last podcast, too. Like, I was like, I'd rather go get multiple guys and just go grab Cam Coleman.
Yeah, and I think anyone who's realistic and honest understands that the highest of the high-dollar guys in this portal cycle are likely guys for whom Oklahoma isn't going to be involved. Because the market is very quickly getting out of control enough that the bidding war for players of that ilk is eclipsing what Oklahoma and the front office at Oklahoma is willing to spend in good conscience.
Yeah.
And so this is where I know this is not an easy thing for some people. We went through this all summer with the 2026 recruiting cycle. This is where, for lack of any empirical data to measure what they have done and will do, this is where you just kind of take the white knuckles off the steering wheel, sit back, and say, I'm going to choose to trust Jim Nagy and this Oklahoma front office to push the right buttons, to make the right decisions, to deploy the resources in the right places to build a championship roster in 2026. Because you have no reason not to right now. This is why these guys were hired. If it doesn't work out, if they don't get results that are commensurate with reasonable expectations, then we can have that conversation after the 2026 season. But you kind of, like, from where I'm at, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit back and be content saying, this is what these guys were hired to do. I'm going to let them do it. I'm going to reserve judgment until the time comes at which we can accurately reflect on the results and see them for what they are.
Totally agree. Look, at the end of the day, you have to look at it like Oklahoma's returning. Like I said, like I named so many starters are returning. They're returning their safety. You got Boganowski and Peyton Bowen. You have Eli Bowen, Cortland Guillory, Jacoby Johnson, David Stone, Jaden Jackson, Taylor Wan, PJ Adebowara. You got Danny Okoye. Like, they're loaded on defense, right? You return Kip Lewis, Owen Heineke. You got Sammy Omasego. You go grab one or two guys out of the portal that can come in and play and be good players. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you've got your four starting offensive linemen. You go grab your fifth. You go grab two wide receivers. You're good to in two or three tight ends. Parker, you're good to go. Now you just need depth. It doesn't have to be big names. I think you want the big names at the offensive line, at the guard position. You want at least one big name to be that wide receiver number two next to, and I keep saying Livingstone is not a wide receiver number one. He doesn't have to be. Isaiah Satania is your wide receiver number one. That was proven this year. Dude had almost 1,000 yards. You can get Livingstone if he decides to come to Oklahoma. You can go grab another really good player, and Marion Miller, whoever. Go spend $2 million to get those two or whatever, $1.8 million or whatever to go get both those players to come in and add. You have really good youth depth at wide receiver. You're good to go. Hayden Hansen at tight end, 6'7", 257 pounds. The dude is a freak athlete. He is going to be big time. Not a great blocker just yet, but that can be taught and learned with his size. But you talk about a dude that's going to be a red zone nightmare. OU is returning so many good players and so many starters next year that that's going to be their downfall as far as splashes in the portal. You just can't. Players aren't just going to come to Oklahoma and be like, I'll just come and sit behind these guys.
Yeah.
That's just not how it works. I think we had a super chat.
Yeah, a couple final ones. BMD Killer 9166 asked, what are they spending the Coleman money on now?
We just talked about, I mean, they're going to
We
try to split things up.
And then CJ Anderson asked, when will we know about Kip Sitanian and Mateer? I'll spoil this one for you. John Mateer's coming back. If that wasn't the conclusion that you drew from the Michael Hawkins Jr. portal news, it should have been the conclusion that you drew from the Michael Hawkins Jr. portal news. John Mateer is coming back. Isaiah Satania is also coming back. My guess would be you find out in the next 4 or 5 days about Kip Lewis. And our expectation right now, our belief, is that he will be coming back as well.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm sitting here reading, like, the trolls are out in the chat.
They are.
They're
it's
out.
It's that time of year.
Yeah,
everybody. Buckle down. Get ready for it.
Yep. Oh, well. All right. That's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider and the Visor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. If you are not subscribed to this YouTube, subscribe to our, if you're watching us on X or Twitter, subscribe to OU Insider. It's free. Just click the subscribe or follow button. Follow Parker. Follow myself on Twitter. If you're not subscribed to OUinsider.com, right now is the perfect time to do it. I put the link in the chat 2 or 3 times. It's 50% off. All you have to do is type in OUinsider.com in the URL code, and you go join now. 50% off gets you the bundle. It's the transfer portal bundle. Gets you OU Insider. Gets you Rivals, gets you every On3 site as well. Like, you get access to all 80 On3 sites, plus you get OU Insider. Our board has been so busy. The traffic we've had over the last week was greater than the Michigan week, which is crazy. OU Texas, it's been unbelievable. Thank you, OU fans, for that. And we've grown a lot. One of the top, I guess, add-ons or people that are sites that have been subscribed to and on three over the last week. And we want to thank you guys for that. So growing fast, we love you guys. Thank you guys so much. We do this because of you. And we're going to continue to do this because of you. So thank you for everything that you guys do. Remember, like, subscribe to this YouTube, hype, whatever it is. Give us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. And that's going to do it. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Forsythe, we hope you have a happy new year. And have a blessed weekend. Have a blessed night.